The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast starts now.
It's Thursday, October 11th, 2012, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is Time Traveling Robots in Space, number 47. From Waterloo, Iowa, I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me, as always, well, not always, because you were gone last week, Paul Swickard. Shame on you.
Sorry. You know what? No, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry to the part of you two. You will get no pity from me. And that's it.
Well, why don't you explain? Okay, we've already talked about this on previous episodes. Your wife is pregnant, so you were taking care of her last. You were taking care of her last week. You were being the husband.
I was doing my husbandly duties. Yes.
Okay.
Interpret that, you know, in whatever way you like. I don't care.
was there some feet rubbing involved?
I could already tell this is going to be fun.
Was there some feet rubbing involved? No? Okay. All right. Okay. So do you have any crazy Glendale, California story?
I saw a guy open his car door to spit out of it while it was moving.
Really?
I assume that his window was not functional, but that might be a bit much to assume.
Yeah.
But you know what? Interpretly.
Maybe.
What it was especially funny was that he was like, I was going to say he was going up to a red light. Which would normally mean that people would stop. That's not always the case here. So you have to be careful about that. Anywho, he was approaching a red light anyway, so I don't know why he just didn't wait. But no, he chose to open his car door while moving and then close it even before he got to the light. He didn't even slow down.
Nice. That's sweet. I love your Glendale, California stories. You should write a book or blog or something.
I should, and you're absolutely right. Like, there's definitely enough. Clearly, I mean, you know, you people have been asking me about this. It's been a coveted thing now.
You could do a Glendale, California versus Glendale, Arizona. Who's better? It's a showdown.
California.
That's a thing. In fact, it became a much bigger thing recently. There was some big deal thing happening in Glendale, Arizona, or maybe it will happen. I think it's political. Oh crap. I got to check.
Now I've got to look. Okay. While you're looking that up, let's introduce the third member of the show, Ms. Anessa Moyens. How are you, Anessa?
Good. How are you?
Very good. I hear that you're from a little bird that you're going on a trip this weekend.
I am going on a trip this weekend.
What are you?
I'm heading west.
head west, young lady. Head west.
To the frontier. Yes. I out each semester with an intro geology class, and I do the astronomy portion because there's geology out in space as well. And so that's why I'm going.
Now, do you have a whole
Is that a specialty?
What?
Paul.
Is that a specialty? Like, is there a astronaut geologist or whatever you want to, astrogeologist?
Astrogeologist.
Well, I know on the Apollo 17 mission, there was an actual geologist that landed on the moon to collect samples.
That makes sense.
All right.
Dude, you could be
geologist.
You could be that member of that spaceship on a movie. You know how, like an alien movie or other types of movies that take place in space, there's always like members of the crew that have their specialty. You could be the geologist among the crew. That'd be awesome.
I could.
Yes.
Or I could be an astrocartographer. Either works.
Okay.
No. All right. I could tell people where they need to go. But yeah, no, like geology in space would be awesome. be a lot of fun. Like, check out this rock. It's totally not on Earth.
Yeah. and then
yeah, no, it would be really awesome. I could go to space. I know NASA was hiring astronauts, and I actually looked into that. And sadly, they don't consider geography a real science.
Oh.
Even though my concentration was physical geography that dealt more with geomorphology and geology, but whatever. Whatever.
Hey, it's their loss. It's their loss.
I'm gonna work for the Russians.
They're lost. All right, Paul, did you find out what the deal was with Glendale, California and Glendale, Arizona?
The notable thing that happened in Glendale, Arizona recently that Justin Bieber threw up on stage.
Oh!
That was the important thing.
Stop the presses.
Oh, man.
No.
That's a happening place. It's been christened by Bieber. Now, like, all of the believers are going to go on this spiritual quest to Glendale, Arizona, to the site where Bieber
bile.
Bieber chunks.
Nice.
All right. Hey, do you guys want to talk about the actual subject of this podcast?
I suppose we should.
Now, do we know what the subject is? Any of you want to answer that?
Justin Bieber?
Yes, it's a Bieber cast.
That's why I'm here, right?
Yes.
I thought that's what we were here
Bieber
for.
Cast in
But I thought we were all believers.
Believers. Okay, can we just stop, all right? Stop. This is the Time Traveling Robots in Space. We talk about time travel, robots, and space when it comes to Justin Bieber. So Bieber yes. has to be right. involved in these other topics for us to talk about it. That's how specific this podcast is.
As long as Bieber's included, that's all I care about.
All right. So,
you know what? Podcasting nowadays is all about niche marketing.
Yeah.
It really is. So, you know what? If you can get the corner on one particular piece, like Bieber vomit, then you're in. And yeah, we're there.
You know what? I'm putting Bieber in the keyword this week, and watch our subscriptions skyrocket, man.
Nice.
Awesome.
All right, so what we do is we run down each of our topic, do a story on each, then we discuss our related entertainment picks and ask the question of the week. For our audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show, just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+, and you will get notified as to where and when this will take place. Or just go to galacticnetcasts.com/live. So here we go.
Sector 1, time travel.
All right, Looper, you missed the whole Looper discussion last week, Paul. So we're gonna make it up to you right now.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
No, it's okay. It's okay because we're gonna talk about it. The real life. How does Looper's technology relate to real life? So, a look at Looper's potential for real-world time travel. Sounds exciting, right?
Yes, and I'm really wondering how in the hell they're gleaning any sort of tech from Looper. But go ahead, please.
Okay, well, Edward Ferry is a theoretical physicist from MIT who works with equations in a lab. Naturally, he has a pretty good understanding of the special and general theories of relativity that illuminate the legitimate possibilities of time travel. However, his studies also discredit the entire premise of being able to go back in time. So, Back to the Future, out. Looper, out. It's not possible. He says the laws of physics were smart enough to not allow a causality violation. That means that you put the effect before the cause, which is what you do when you travel backward. An example of this would be lighting a match near a gas canister and having it explode. You can't have an explosion without the lit match because that would be a causality violation. However, Causality violations lead to some of Looper's most terrifying, gruesome, and memorable moments. One scene in particular features the bodily breakdown of a Looper sent to the past. What did you guys think about that scene?
That was cool. I didn't see that coming at all. I thought that was pretty freaking rad. Yeah, it was just one of the things about. I was like, okay, how would you catch future person, but you have past person?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a darn good way.
Yep. And I was super confused by that. I didn't know what the hell was going on until a scene later on in the film when the Joseph Gordon-Levitt was riding on his or cutting his arm to send his older self, or was it back the other way around?
The younger Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No, the younger was cutting up his own arm.
Okay.
So that way his future self would be.
Okay. That's when I figured out what that other scene was all about. I was kind of confused.
You didn't see the guy laying on the property.
Now, you know what, Anessa? I'm weird. My head is full of weird stuff. So I can't always follow a movie exactly the way you're supposed to follow a movie. So it takes me a while for it to digest. It has to cook in my head for a while for me to figure it out.
That's a 375 for 45.
Yeah. Marinate,
Preheat.
Preheat the oven.
All right. So Fari was able to further prove his point by showing that if someone wanted to construct a device that would warp space enough to go back in time, they would need to assemble and collect half of the mass of the universe. In Looper, the time machine is just a shoddy mechanical sphere covered in coils. We wrote a paper called An Obstacle to Building a Time Machine in the Laboratory, Fari says. It would require a huge warping of space-time and have huge cosmological effects. These effects are dramatic enough that they would have serious consequences for the entire universe. Theoretical physicist and Nobel Grand Prize winner Gerard T. Hooft further studied what could happen if one tried to travel back in time, Fari explains. He showed that before you had enough time to go back to the past, the entire universe would collapse so that the universe would end in a big crunch, the opposite of the Big Bang. That really meant to me, without really much further investigating, that the laws of physics abhor time travel backward. Fari also doesn't favor the belief that one could jump into the past of a parallel universe. In theory, there would be different outcomes in different universes. I have trouble understanding but one of the things that bothers me about this is how come in our universe we never see time travelers, which I think we've discussed on this show numerous times, is why don't they come out and actually say, hey, I'm a time traveler. Look at me. It's been proven because I'm here. I'm from the year, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, there you go. That's he pretty much discredited the whole notion of backward time travel.
That makes a lot of time travel movies much useless if you try to think about them in that way.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And the most interesting time travel movies are the ones that go back in time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. When it comes to time travel movies, I'm more than happy to suspend disbelief.
Yeah.
Like, there's all kinds of problems. Like, I always think about the one of the things that is almost never addressed is the fact that you are not only changing time, you're changing space. And so if you go back, like, exactly where we are now, and you go back, you know, however many years, the Earth is not in the exact same place where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to figure out exactly the Earth was and try to get to where you wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. Because if it weren't, then you'd just be in this situation where you'd time travel and, you know, immediately pop. You're just floating out into space.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't really take that part into account.
I mean, a few.
It gets weird.
Yeah. Doctor Who.
When you think about these things logically, it just gets hard.
Yeah. yeah, you have to suspend a lot of disbelief to really to appreciate and to enjoy time travel in fiction. That's for sure.
Yeah, but see, I can buy the whole, the part of it that I was okay with that seemed to bother some people is the kind of parallel universe aspect. Like the fact that Bruce Willis travels, I don't know, I kind of feel guilty. Should we spoil anything?
Yeah, no,
was
okay.
Was that adequately warned?
No, he travels back.
Yeah, hey, let's just say it right now, we're going to spoil Looper a lot. So if you haven't seen Looper yet, stop listening, come back in about 10 minutes or five, about 7 minutes, probably.
Seven. Yeah, break the difference. That's nice.
So go ahead, Paul. Spoil away.
You know, I understand the whole idea, because if Bruce Willis really did travel back in time, then that immediately tears off the universe, if you will, into a different universe in which things will not unfold as the way he understood it, because they're in essentially a different timeline. That's all there is to it. There's not much. That's it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand that part. It makes sense. I guess what part wouldn't make as much sense is the way in which the, I forget what the bad guy's name was, but the main evil
Rainmaker
kid, basically, whatever. Yeah, the Rainmaker. Thank you. The part that wouldn't make sense is that the Rainmaker wouldn't have existed had Bruce Willis not traveled back in time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he essentially caused his own existence, which is, I mean, I'll just say it produces a lot of problems logically.
You know, thinking about all these paradoxes always gives me a headache. You know, because there's so many variables involved.
No, for sure. But honestly, I really liked the movie. I did, but it wasn't really about time travel. It was a lot. It was kind of like, had y'all ever seen the, like, and what I mean, it's not time travel. It's not showcasing the fact that people can time travel.
Exactly.
It's about, it's an internal, it's a character driven film. Like, right. For example, have y'all ever seen The Gray? This is a poor example, but I'll try anyway.
No, I haven't seen it.
No? All right. Then I won't ruin it for you. That movie is not about wolves. I would just say that.
Okay. Yeah. I was familiar with the movie. I just didn't know what the plot was. That's interesting. No, one of the first things that came to mind.
It is about wolves, but it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows are that way. Like, this is a really bad example, but
sure. But
The New Girl with Zooey Deschanel started out as being a show about this girl, the new girl, who moves in with these three guys. But it's gone way beyond that.
I stopped watching it.
Oh, it's such a great show. It's so funny.
I didn't like it. Like, I watched the first, like, four episodes of that, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I just wasn't buying the whole thing.
Yeah, you kind of have to. You have to suspend disbelief.
People still like it better.
Well, I tried watching it, and for some reason, maybe I just didn't watch the right episodes, but I just couldn't get into it.
Or maybe I have really bad taste. That's possible too.
I have a lot of friends that really love that show, and I think even I'm a fan of that show. And I've tried and. I don't know. For some reason, I just can't get into it. Although I'm not really a big Zooey fan.
Yeah.
But. You know what? I've heard a lot of similar talk about How I Met Your Mother. Some people just don't like it.
Yep.
I personally think it's hilarious, but
yep.
Some people just don't dig it. And you know what? That's cool.
So before this show completely goes off the rails, I get the point, because one of the first things that came to mind after I got out of the theater was, how are they going to categorize this movie in Netflix? It could be in numerous different categories. Yeah, because it's adventure, sure. It's action, it's It was mind bendy. It's science
fiction. There were a lot
fiction.
Of fantasy elements in there too that I just didn't. I was not ready for. I was not ready for that part. I wasn't ready for the whole telekinesis type deal. I did not see that coming.
Yeah. I thought that the future tech was pretty cool. I liked how they had all these old cars, and apparently fossil fuels are gone because they've attached all these solar collectors onto their vehicles, so they're all drawing electricity from solar power, it looks like.
Yep.
And then there's the speeders. Then there's the...
It was more mechanical.
Yeah. And then there's the floating bike. That was pretty cool. I like that too.
I did like the hover bike.
Yeah. Hover bike.
I liked not Jeff Daniels. I thought his character did a really good job.
Oh yeah,
he was
great.
I liked that character quite a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so does that cover it? Has it been 7 minutes? Did you guys check your watches before we started?
I haven't been keeping time.
All right, that's it for time travel. We would love to know your thoughts on Looper and time travel and paradoxes. And do you think it's possible that, do you think backwards time travel is possible? Let us know. You can email us, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail number. That's 805-328-3966. Now, let's move on.
Sector 2. Robots.
To Anessa's story about robots.
Yay, robots! Engineers at the University of Sheffield and the University of Sussex are planning on scanning the brains of bees and uploading them into flying robots with the hope that the machines will fly and act like the real thing. The goal of the project is to create the first robots able to act on instinct. Researchers hope to implant a honeybee sense of smell and sight into the flying machine, allowing the robots to act as autonomously as an insect rather than relying on pre-programmed instruction. Researchers anticipate that developing a model for scanning and uploading an animal's brain will offer insight into how a brain's cognitive systems work, potentially offering advances in understanding animal and human cognition. Not only will this pave the way for many future advances in autonomous flying robots, wrote Dr. Thomas Nowotny, the leader of the Sussex team, but we also believe the computer modeling techniques we will be using will be widely useful to other brain modeling and computational neuroscience projects.
Yeah, I included the story because it's something that you and Brad mentioned last week. So I thought, you know, why not talk about it this week? You missed a great discussion last week, Paul, because we talked about apparently the U.S. military wants to put better brains into their combat robots to make them have the ability to find their way back after the mission.
I've heard about that.
And if for some reason they lose a signal, then they're not just stopped. They're not stuck there. They can actually go, like, retrace their steps and find their way. Or at least find their way a signal and then continue wherever they were going to.
Yeah.
You know that I did. I may not have been here, but I still did do the show notes. So I know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Oh, that's right. I totally forgot that you prepped the show. Damn it.
And you even made a comment of it, like, during the show. You're like, he's not here, but he prepped the show.
You know what? I'm glad. I'm glad that you made good use of all of that.
Yeah, it was great. We appreciate it. And this kind of feeds into that story, that other story, in a way. But it brings it to an even higher level because they want to teach robots to act instinctively, which is kind of scary in a way, don't you think?
I'll do.
Yeah. Well, okay. Just consider something here, folks. If you're going to start mapping the brain of pretty much any living priority one, especially when you're talking about instincts, first instinct on every single animal on the planet, I don't care if you're talking about a about a freaking amoeba or a bear or whatever. First priority, preservation.
Yep.
So if you're going to start putting things in robots to make them, you know, have base instincts, then guess what? It's going to protect itself.
Yeah.
That's just a scary thought, you know? A bunch of pissed off robots. Not pissed off, but a bunch of robots that are trying to survive, you know? Defending themselves.
Yeah. And then, of course, at a point, it begs the question, you know, where does the logical progression end? Like, okay, these people are, you know, what happens when the robot gets to the point? Well, these people are obviously going to ruin the planet at some point, and I can't live on a ruined planet, so
yep.
Let's kill them all.
That's how it begins. That's a typical plot of a lot of science fiction movies. Yep.
Copyright.
Yeah.
I'm Traveling Robots in Space 2012.
So Anessa,
that's gonna be our movie.
So Anessa, why are they using a bumblebee or a bee?
That's a good point. I was wondering that too. They never said that, did they?
No.
I'm trying to remember if they did in anything that I read, but I would imagine, like, I guess it'd be easier to work on something really small than trying to, say, to get a bird to fly back to where it needs to go. Maybe starting off small.
Do you think their brains are more simple and it's easier to map?
Dude.
Because
oh, crap.
They've got the
another
whole
horrible
hive mind
thought.
Thing going on, though. Although, like, I know
we're talking,
they've made...
Right.
What?
They've got the whole hive
That's
mind
a problem.
Going on.
Hive!
Right. It's not a hive mind, right? So,
yes.
What the hell?
Resistance
we
is
don't
futile.
Have that, like...
It's the start of the Borg.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, did you see the thing about the three you little Borg cubes people. Flying by the International Space Station? The
no,
other?
Uh-uh. What the hell?
Yeah, there were three little, I don't know how little, but in the picture they look tiny compared to a chunk of the International Space Station. And I didn't realize that there are satellites out in space that look like little cubes, and there were three of them floating by the International Space Station. And so
I think
Clayton made a weird. Comment. They were mini Borg. I posted that on.
Oh, I missed that. Ages. That sucks. No, they're called microsatellites, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty recent thing.
Mini Borg cubes. That's what they are.
Assimilation. That's where it starts.
So, yeah, maybe it's like the whole hive thing going on. But, which kind of reminds me of a while back, I remember reading an article about they created like these little robot cockroaches, and they put them with other roaches that pretty much accepted them as a roach. And what they did was they had the little robot cockroach, rather than scurry off into the darkness, it would venture out into the light, and which is what I guess roaches don't normally do, but because they trusted this robot, they followed it out into the light rather than running for darkness whenever the lights came on.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
It
might have been a couple years ago. But that was also kind of crazy that these roaches would follow this little insect robot. I mean, it didn't really look like a roach, but it was a tiny little robot. And they were like, oh, hey, it's our buddy. Let's follow him.
So
he's cool. He's robotic.
The lesson is, if we want to train roaches, we have to use robotic roaches.
Yes, apparently. Because they were trying to, I guess they were just trying to see if they could be swayed into going, like, hanging out in life rather than in the world. I want to say I might have heard it on 64.
Okay. Interesting. All right, so are we scared of this? Are we scared of the bee mind?
Any advancement like that with robots where they can find their way back without the aid of humans? I think it's bad news.
Mm-hmm.
In the long run.
Yeah.
Building our own lives.
I hope they plan to put a failsafe in there someplace. Do kill not switch. Kill humans. Yeah, kill switch.
Well, that is one of the
safe, laws ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you're right. It is. All right. All right. Let's move on. The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by Audible.com. For you, the Galactic Netcast listeners, Audible's offering a free audiobook download with a free, whoa. What the hell?
Dave just reached puberty, folks.
Free.
Remind everybody what you do for a living.
What, Paul?
I said remind everybody of what you do for a living, sir.
I talk on the radio, and normally my voice is a deep, warm tone. But for some reason, I lost my voice. My voice changed. All right.
Normally, so, it's quite appealing.
97.7 KCRR, the classic rock station.
You should do that for April Fool's or something.
I'd actually agree with you. I'm the new DJ.
I don't know what we're going to say, but if you opened that way on radio show just once, oh man, I'd record it and play it in my head. Many times.
I think Anessa gave me an idea for April Fools. Thank you, Anessa. Always with the great ideas.
That's awesome.
Make a note, Dave. I don't want you to forget this.
Mental note. Okay. You can download that free audiobook, 30-day trial, to give you the chance to check out their service. To go along with the theme of this podcast, may we suggest Saturn, a novel of the ringed planet by Ben Bova. Now, here is the brief plot synopsis. Earth groans under the thumb of fundamentalists' political regimes. Crisis after crisis has given authoritarians the upper hand. Freedom and opportunity exist in space for those with the nerve and skill to take it. Now, the governments of Earth are encouraging many of their most incorrigible dissidents to join a great arc, a one-way expedition to Saturn. But amidst the idealism permeating space habitat Goddard are many individuals with long-term schemes, each awaiting their moment. And hidden from them is the greatest secret of all, the real purpose of this expedition, known only to a few. Again, that's Saturn, a novel of the ringed planet. So you can download that for free or take another pick by going to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Again, that's audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And we thank Audible for their support of the Time Traveling Robots in Space.
Space.
All right, Paul, I love lists, and you got a great one here.
I do have a list. But first, I feel the need to say, I do not even need to watch these freaking presidential debates. Everybody tweets everything about it, so I am just completely up to date.
Yeah, why do you need TV or radio or anything? You don't need to watch it. Just go on Twitter. That's all you need.
I do like to try to
watch,
them
Twitter
so that way I can judge
Jon Stewart
myself.
And Colbert tomorrow, and then it'll be good.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, good point. Both of you guys.
Sorry. You know what? Space. Hey, it's here, and it's around us. That's what I'm told.
You sound like a commercial. Hey, space, it's around us. Would you like to go there? We could take you there.
It's got the moon.
Feel free to send me an email. I do parties and, you know, you can pay me to do whatever you like and I will happily say it. From IO9, upcoming science fiction movies that aren't remakes, sequels, or prequels. You know what? I'm all for this list already.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Good for IO9, by the way. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, I'm just happy. Any topic, yeah, or rather any genre of film that aren't sequels. Number one on the list, Ender's Game. I cannot wait for this. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm curious how it's going to translate, but the cast is quite good. Obviously, this is the adaptation of Orson Scott Card's famous novel about a boy who goes to a very special school during a war against alien quote-unquote buggers. This is due out in November 2013, assuming we're all still here.
I'm totally good here.
I'll be here.
I will survive.
I was referring to 2012. You know, we're all going to die on, you know, later.
I plan on surviving. So, well, I'm going to go find a bunker and bunker down.
Yeah, me and Anessa are going to go Tommy Paterna's house in Colorado, and we'll be fine.
He's going to go to Tennessee.
I generally take notes on movies like... What's that?
No, go ahead.
No, I said I want to say that Tommy's going to a bunker in Tennessee.
Yeah, I think he is. He's already got a bunker set up.
Oh.
So. Paul, go ahead.
Continue.
It's funny. I generally take notes whenever we're looking at movie or television shows like The Walking Dead or Revolution or something like that. Have you seen Revolution, by the way?
Yes, I love that show.
It's not half bad.
I love it.
I was surprised. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, it's not really. I don't know that I classify it as science fiction. It kind of is, but it's not so. It's not that far out there, I guess, is what I'd say about that in terms of tech.
There are science fiction elements, like the whole why did we lose power? You know, I bet you it's a JJ it's a JJ Abrams joint, so I'm guessing that there's something big, you know, underneath. I'm guessing there's some big reason why all the power was just zapped out of the earth, you know?
Yeah. Right now we're being led to believe that it's man-made and that this was caused by someone or something. Who knows if that's really the case. When I first saw those planes falling out of the sky, I thought there might have been aliens like attacking us. I was hopeful for a second, but alas, no aliens yet.
Yeah. Well, the aliens might yet still Ender's be Game, involved somehow.
That's true. Ender's Game, FYI, also stars Harrison Ford and Ben Kingsley. Just saying. Those two names alone will give me pause. Next stop, Elysium, from the District 9 writer and director Neil Blomkamp, and starring Matt Damon.
What? How do you pronounce that?
Blomkamp.
It's Blomkamp. I added the 10. It sounded better when I said it, okay?
Blutenkamp. It was something like Blutenkampen. It's like, what?
I had not heard of this until I started reading about it as a result of the show notes. The movie is set to be in 2159, where the Earth has become so overcrowded that the richest members of society will live in a luxurious orbiting space station. Damon will play a character named Max, who is an ex-convict living among the ordinary classes on Earth. When Max gets into some trouble of an unspecified nature, I like that they felt the need to say that it was unspecified, he embarks on a mission that could bring down the divide between the rich and the poor. Commentary much? Just saying. That one is due out March 1st, 2013. I would see this movie for no other reason than Neil Blomkamp is great. I was really surprised by District 9.
No, it was a fantastic movie. What's up next?
I like that movie quite a bit. Creepy.
What, Anessa?
Next. After Earth.
I was going to say, did you guys... Never mind.
Okay.
Are you sure?
We could talk about it because
I was just going to ask if you guys had seen the short that District 9 was based off of.
Yes, I saw it after the movie. After I saw the movie,
it was actually really good.
Yeah,
surprised. I had a friend that made me watch it before.
Ah, cool. I see. Okay, now, Paul, go ahead. After Earth.
Movie is After Earth from one M. Night Shyamalan. And starring Will and Jaden Smith. what?
I was just saying it before you can screw it
Smith
up.
Smith played... I like saying names wrong. Smith plays a father and son. The Smiths play a father and son who crash land on Earth at a point in the future, by which time it's become a dangerous place and devoid of human life. Will Smith's character is injured, and the younger heads off to find a rescue beacon. This is coming out in June of 2013, so this is the summer flick.
I want to add something real quick. I hear, and I've read, that After Earth has this whole, like, history built into it. Like, they've got this complicated backstory of these humans, you know, where they go, how they get there, and the whole genealogy of their, why they look the way they do, and why they're named the way they are. That's what I read, at least. Just wanted to add that real quick.
Well, what this isn't telling you is that this is, in fact, a simulation, and they were dead the whole time. Next stop, Gravity, from Alfonso Cuarón, and starring George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. Okay, that's interesting. About a pair of astronauts who survived the destruction of an orbiting space station, and their struggle to find means of survival in debris. Okay, that's interesting choice of words. And coming out also... 2013. Yeah. I don't know about the last one.
I don't really see myself seeing Gravity, honestly.
Clooney's obviously good.
Well, the one thing that I've heard about Gravity, and I believe we've talked about it on the show before, is it opens with this long-ass scene. Like, one shot for like a half hour or 20 minutes or some crazy long, long amount of time. That's what I read, at least. It's a very 2001-ish
okay.
feel to it.
Okay. That's cool. I know next to nothing about it, so I guess we'll have to see. We will keep you abreast of the situation. Anyway.
Yes, we'll be discussing it on further episodes of the Time Traveling Robots in Space, I am sure. All right. Please. There Thank you go. You. Did you know that you can listen to all of the Galactic Netcasts, including Time Traveling Robots in Space and Alien Invasion, on Stitcher Smart Radio? Did you know that?
I
nope,
do not.
I have no clue.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks for playing along, by the way, because it's a commercial that we read every week. So you should know this by now, or you never pay attention when I talk about it. That's a possibility, too. Anyways, Stitcher is an app that you can put on your phone, be it an iPhone, an Android phone, BlackBerry phone, Android tablet, Nook, any electronic device. If it can put an app on it, you can get a Stitcher app for it. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. You can find it in your app store or go to stitcher.com/galacticnetcasts. And please enter that promo code galacticnetcasts, and that will give us credit for kind of pushing you in Stitcher's direction. Stitcher Smart Radio, it's the smarter way to listen to radio. All right, let's move on to picks. And Paul, your pick's been sitting there for 2 weeks now, getting all dusty and stuff.
Unlu's not here.
I'm sorry.
Today.
Well, that's, you know what, I had picked it previously, of course. And yeah, I actually have two things that I want to discuss, so I will pick them. I will discuss them both briefly. Point number one, the Kerbal Space Program. It's a video game. It's just a little video game. And I played this thing for a little while. It's just fun. Like, it you can download. It wasn't an alpha stage for a really long time. And I actually think they may have even released it. But you can still play the demo. And essentially, it's really just building your own space spacecraft so you can launch the thing.
Okay.
That's really what it's about, and trying to actually get into space correctly. Like, if you watch the little YouTube thing, if you go to KerbalSpaceProgram.com, you will have a little YouTube video, and it's essentially just these little alien looking guys yelling and screaming at each other for like blowing stuff up.
Okay, sorry.
Just like that.
Exactly. Is it sad? Word of warning, you need to have a bit of patience when you do this, because it actually like has elements of this that you need to take into account. And I never got my spaceship off the ground. That's the matter.
Uh-huh.
So you have to have a little skill, a little bit.
Well, you can try and do stuff the wrong way, like I did. I intentionally tried to make something that wouldn't survive the journey. And it just, yeah, it will actually not function as it should.
Yeah.
Krubble Space Program. It's a cute little fun game that you can check out for free. And if you dig it, play more.
And this was recommended by Lou Page, who was actually here in the chat room last week. And he was rather disappointed that you were not here, Paul.
I'm sorry, Lou. Yes, this was recommended to me by Lou, and kudos to him for doing it. And yeah, I definitely wanted to talk about it. It's a fun game. Second thing, Radiolab, I don't know if you guys follow Radiolab at all, but they put out a sometime weekly bi-weekly podcast. And the one they have this week is about various stories from an astronaut. And just some of the stuff that he has to tell a lot. His name is Dave Wolf. And some of the stuff that this guy has to tell about his work on the space station is just amazing. It all had to do with the theme was light and shadow. And so he just had, just off the top of his head, he had all kinds of just interesting stuff. Like he had one of the stories that he told was that the difference between light and darkness is so great that if you were working outside and you were in the light and you were to put your hand or something into a shadow, you wouldn't be able to see your hand anymore.
Wow.
Like you would be looking across. It would look like your hand's cut off.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's some stuff. You should, I highly recommend that you all listen to it.
David Wolf has been on Neil deGrasse Tyson's podcast as a guest a couple of times.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, and he's a fascinating guy, and he's a New Yorker, so he's got this New York accent. It's awesome.
Yeah. Is definitely a guy full of stories. Yep. And, I mean, yeah, some of that stuff is just fascinating.
And he, let me interrupt again, he was the one that fixed Hubble.
Was he?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He fixed the lens on the Hubble Space Telescope. So he's the person.
Wasn't Phil Plait as well?
What's that?
Didn't Phil Plait help with that as well? I know Phil Plait did work on the Hubble, and I want to say he helped out with the lens as well.
Yeah, it's possible that he helped out on planet side, but David Wolf. Wolf, I just said Wolf. Wolf was the guy that did like the mechanics work. He was the mechanic in space for the Hubble telescope. All right, Paul.
Sweet.
Anything more?
Cool. No, that is it. And those are my recommendations. Swick seal of approval.
Good job. Good job. All
right. Seal of approval.
On to Anessa, her non-time travel.
Actually, I decided to change my pick.
Oh, okay.
I just thought of something that I mentioned in the previous podcast, and I think people should give it a listen.
Okay.
It's another podcast. It's an astronomy podcast, and it's called The Jodcast. It's produced by some folks over in the UK, and it is a monthly podcast, and they basically have different physicists, like experts in the field of astronomy, come and actually talk about different things, topics that's currently up in the media, or maybe just planets in general, or whatever the topic might be. And then at the end of the podcast, remember they do also answer questions that people send in as well, like they try to answer them. And then at the end,
turn now to another major story.
they talk about what's going to be up in the night sky and any sort of astronomical events that are up and coming, whether it's in the next month or even the next year, because they mentioned a comet that is currently visible if you have, like, a whole bunch of ginormous telescopes, like a network of telescopes. And then early 2013, we have a large, they said massive telescope, which I don't know how massive is, 4-meter telescope, what? But anyway, early 2013, you can see the comet, and then in the summer, you'd be able to see it with, like, binoculars and, like, a regular telescope, like a smaller telescope would have. And then in November, it's supposed to be a really bright comet. They were saying that it's going to be, or it's expected to be brighter than Hale-Bopp.
Wow! Hale-Bopp,
it's supposed
you could
to be,
see really, really easily.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be brighter than Hale-Bopp. And so that's something to look forward to in November 2013. And that's the kind of information that they provide. They also talk about what's coming up in the Southern Hemisphere, or either that or I just started spacing out and thought it was the Southern Hemisphere. I don't know. But it's a really well-put-together podcast, and I highly recommend it. It's very informative.
This is
interesting.
If you're
interested in astronomy and space, listen to the Jodcast. It is available on Stitcher Smart Radio, just like we are.
Nice.
So imagine that.
We're in good company. That's awesome.
So.
And I like any podcast that is a play on words for podcast, like Smodcast, Jodcast.
Jod on.
Godcast.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a Godcast someplace.
I'm sure there
yeah.
are. But yes, they have a website at jodcast.net.
Sweet. Well, thank you, Inessa. Good one.
Thank you.
You dodged a bullet there. I saw your other pick. And I like that pick. It's H, the digital series. Yeah, I'm behind on some episodes.
Really, yeah, I've only seen the first 7, I think, episodes, but it's a really good series so far. Like, I'm really enjoying it. And if people are interested in that too, it's H Plus, I think, is how it's listed on YouTube. And you can just go down the playlist and watch like 8 episodes in a half hour. They're maybe 3 or 4 minutes.
Speaking of web series, I'm surprised, Paul, that you did not have as yours the Halo digital, the web series for, or the web movie. They're dividing it into pieces, I believe, for Halo.
Yeah. I'm conflicted about that. The problem is that a lot of these bigger franchises are trying to create all of these peripheral pieces of content for people to consume, right? Like little web series, like comic books, like things like that. And generally speaking, and I'm speaking in broad strokes here, is that most of the time those things are awful. Like they don't add much to anything. They're just there for people to buy. I mean, this is the pessimistic side of me coming out. So yeah, it's different in my mind if you start off with something start off as a web series and it gets popular and you try to make it into a game or something like that. I understand that a little bit more, but again, generally I'm not a big fan of all of those little mini episode things they have going on with all of these games. Like I feel like it's just a corporate play. I don't think it really helps the consumer very much.
Well, in this case, it's Microsoft. So it's kind of a big corporation.
Right. Oh, yeah. And that's kind of their deal, right? Like, I mean, you have... with any major franchise, you're going to run into a lot of issues with how... I have a lot of issues with how those things are marketed. And generally, those webisodes are marketing tools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you watch it? Did you watch that?
No. And
don't
get me wrong, I do know of some places where you have a lot of, again, peripheral content that makes sense. Like with World of Warcraft, for example, they have a lot of books and stuff that they put out to try to enhance the lore of the whole, of basically the world. And some of them are quite good. Some of them are not good. So I guess my only thing to say about that is just be discerning.
Okay.
If you know.
Be a critic.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Well, I guess. I feel like a bit of a jerk in saying that, you know?
It's okay.
Like, I don't want to take anything away from anybody that worked on that. I just kind of like, no.
It was okay.
No, thank you.
It was okay, and I'm not a video game person, and I guess it's entertaining, sure. But it's not the best thing. That H digital series is a lot better. That's probably the best put-together web series that I have seen. It looks like a movie, and I hope they put it.
Yeah, I was really impressed when I first came across it. So the quality of.
Yeah, I hope after they release all the episodes, I hope they put them all together into one movie or one huge episode. That'd be really good. All right, cool. I'm gonna take a page from Anessa's book and talk about something that I found on the web. It's a short film called Rocket Boy Roger. It's very cute. It's a British short film about a kid who is kind of a geek, who keeps to himself a lot. He gets bullied. Even his parents don't kind of realize he's there half the time. They're kind of self-obsessed. And through the entire short film, Roger is making a spaceship out of cardboard and other pieces of things that he would find around the house. And it kind of, at the same time, he's reading this comic book of this kid that's building a spaceship to go into space. So it kind of parallels, the comic book parallels the story of real life Roger making this spaceship out of cardboard. And I can kind of relate to this kid because I was kind of him growing up. I was not the most popular kid. I got picked on, and I made things like pretend spaceships. Like after Battlestar Galactica, the original series came out, I built my own Viper fighter out of wood, and I made a helmet out of some ice cream pails with tape. So I was this kid.
Awesome.
Except for my spaceship didn't go into space. His did. So there's a scene where he's getting all suited up. He's in the cockpit, and he's flicking switches, and there's noise going off, and, you know, you think it's going to go, you know, blast off. But it doesn't. He gets all, sad and disappointed. But then all of a sudden, you see this light blink. Like, it took a while for the ship to kind of come to life. And it eventually does fire up, and it launches through the garage. I guess he made it in the garage. So the garage door opens up, and he launches into space. And that's the movie. It's very cute. I recommend it.
Well, sounds like a cute movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was. I think it was made in 2004, so early 2000s it came out. So it's filmed really good. I mean, it's a quality film. I think you guys will both like it a lot. All right, so there you go. Our picks to review again. The Kerbal Space Program, recommended by Paul. Also, he recommended the what was the podcast name? Or no, it was... Radiolab with astronaut David. What's his last name? Wolf?
David Wolf.
Okay.
Yeah, Wolf.
Inessa's recommendation was the podcast Jodcast. The Jodcast podcast.
Exactly.
And mine was the short film Rocket Boy Roger. So you can check out our picks on our website, galacticnetcasts.com. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe to the Time Traveling Robots in Space. And on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review and leave us some kind of review, because those help us get more subscribers and we build into this huge podcasting empire and we'll take over the world. All right.
It'll help, you know, keep everybody motivated.
Yeah.
You know, that helps.
No, it does. It really does. When we get feedback, like if somebody leaves us a voicemail, it totally stokes us. Stokes us? We're stoked about it.
We never get voicemails. Seriously, like, I am so happy when someone's a voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
It just, you know, like, oh,
yeah,
sweet.
Definitely.
Somebody, like, there's like at least two other people listening to this show.
And apparently they like what we're doing, so yay, you know. All right. So
Dave got our phone up earlier because we had a voicemail, but it was spam.
Yeah, during the alien invasion, I said that, yeah, I got a voicemail this week. It was from a telemarketer. Sad. Sad, sad, sad. Yeah. All right, I almost forgot question of the week. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah, question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, if you crash landed on an alien planet and could have with you one fictional character to help you survive, who would it be and why? Paul Swickard, your answer.
Han Solo, no question. He's scrappy. He'll figure out a way. Like if her own, I kind of feel like he would be scrappy enough to figure out a way off, and yet not have the heart to want to screw me over or shoot me in the face. Like I feel like that sort of cusp of not wanting to, like, you know, like, in it for himself. You know what I mean? But like I feel like, you know, that's his persona. That's what he puts out there. But in reality, see, I don't think he would actually do it. That is my play. I know it's a gamble, but you know what? Lives are on the line. So Han, don't let me down.
All right. Hopefully he won't sell you out. All right. Anessa, what's your answer?
I went with the doctor.
Of course.
Doctor Who. So that's who I went with. I figured he's been to a lot of places, so he's seen a lot of environments. So he would have a better idea of how to survive certain places than I would. So he'd have a lot of knowledge. And I think it would just end up being really great company because he's very animated and talky.
Yeah, he would keep you in a good mood. He would keep you motivated. Yeah.
So I figured you need someone there that's not like a Debbie Downer all the time. So that's why I went with
him. We're all going to die.
So I wouldn't necessarily pick like Marvin from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's like,
Oh, I love that character.
All sad and depressing. He's adorable.
Yeah.
He's great. But yeah. I want to give him a hug.
All right. So, Anessa, you picked the doctor. My pick or my answer to the question is Riddick, obviously, because it's his job to survive difficult conditions. I mean, he's done it in two movies, and they're making a third. So definitely Riddick, because he can see in the dark.
See,
he's got those crazy eyes.
Really, I feel like really Riddick really would stab you in the back if you thought it was in his best self-interest.
Yeah, it's.
I realized they had that exact same moral choice, like in the first movie. Understand?
Yeah,
but again, kills people.
I'm gonna I'm gonna give Riddick the benefit of the doubt because he had plenty of chances to kill the people that he was with in that first film, but he didn't. He helped them survive.
Killed one guy at least.
Yeah, details.
I'd rather let him die. Yeah. I guess is the right way of saying.
Well, he could have. He could have killed more. He didn't. So that's my.
You know, he kills some people, but you know, get on his good side, you'll be fine.
Yeah, of course.
Dave, feel it, Dave.
All right, so that's my answer. I'm gonna go with Riddick. I'm not gonna change it. That's my final answer. All right.
Stick to your guns. I like it.
Yeah. So that's it. That's it for the Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast number 47. And let's get out of here. It's late where I am. I have to get up early in the morning. So.
Me too. And drive across the state.
Yeah. Woo! So, of course, as always, final thoughts. Anessa.
Don't whiz on the electric fence.
Good advice.
I referenced
Paul.
be excellent to each other.
I said that last week. I said that for you last week.
Somebody needs to say it.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a show without it. All right, that's it. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.